Taken from Matthew chapter 11. It's a passage around which our study today will be centered. Could we have the passage read again? And Matthew chapter 11 from about verse 7.
And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see?
Mm-hmm.
A reed shaken with the wind?
Mm-hmm.
But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses.
Mm-hmm.
But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you.
What the brother has just read there, hold it, brother. That was said some 700 years before Christ. That is the Almighty God. Yes, 700 years before Christ, this prophecy was made in reference to John the Baptist. His grandfather didn't born yet. His great-grandfather didn't born yet. Yet God could have this recorded about John and his work. Read on, brother.
Verily I say unto you,
uh-huh.
Among them that are born of women,
uh-huh.
There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Withstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Stop there. In fact, the lesson will surround that verse 11. That of all the people that are born of woman, and that refers to every human being, there is none greater than John the Baptist. We want to explore this statement and see what we can learn from it. Up front, it seems almost an injustice whereby the greatest human being to have walked this earth is hardly spoken about. That's right. We don't hear a lot of messages about John the Baptist. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Joshua, Solomon. So often we hear about these, yet John the Baptist, remember, John the Baptist really is John the Baptizer. The word Baptist is not a surname. The word Baptist tells what the man does or did. So John was greater. Abraham was called the friend of God. David was spoken about as a man after God's own heart. And here from Jesus the Christ, we are told that of all of them, none is greater than John. It is striking too that at this time in history, we have had some of the greatest character that ever lived, that is taking their lives from the secular point of view. Great men like Alexander the Great had lived and gone. Men like Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, they had lived. They were secular leaders and great men, but even their lives had no way you could compare them with John the Baptist. John was not only prophesied about, he was not only specially sent, but he was born under unusual circumstances. Zachariah and Elizabeth, his mother and father, they had gotten married when they probably were relatively young and they wanted a child. But they didn't have a child. Watch here now. Did they go to God about having a child? Yes, they prayed to God. Did God answer them? And we can learn from this. They had prayed to God, and we get in context that they had prayed, request God to give them a child. Years passed and they didn't have the child. And years accumulated and passed and they didn't have a child. Was it that the Almighty God had said no to their prayer? No. That's not what God said. You see, that's the way we interpret God's delay. But in their prayer and in God's response, in fact, listen a little more about Elizabeth and Zechariah in verse 7. Let me hear verse 6 first.
And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
I want Matthew chapter 3, I think, or Luke chapter 3. Let me hear Luke chapter 1, quick, and verse 3.
Luke 1?
Matthew, Mark, Luke 1, 3.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first.
Okay, let me have Matthew 11, verse 6.
And blessed is he.
Luke 1, 7. Okay, that's why you see I'm running from Matthew to Luke. Luke 1, 6.
And they were both righteous before God.
That's it. Read that again.
And they were both righteous before God.
That is talking about Elizabeth and Zachariah, John the Baptist's parents. And they were both
righteous before God. Walking in all the commandments.
It is telling you how they were righteous and why they were considered righteous. They were walking
in all the commandments.
In some of the commandments.
In all the commandments.
In all the commandments. Read.
And the ordinances of the Lord.
And the ordinances of the
Lord.
Lord. That's why they were considered righteous. So what we have here is two righteous servants of God. Listen now, verse 7.
And they had no child.
They had no child.
Because that is Elizabeth was barren.
Uh-huh.
And they both were now well stricken in years.
You get the point? From the biological standpoint is that it's like having a child now was impossible. When it says they were well stricken in age. But brothers and sisters, we must learn from lesson like this. Don't move from the passage. That don't ever use biology to restrict God. Truly. Don't use any physical thing to tie God's hand. Because the Almighty God can reverse any law of nature. The Almighty God can ask any law of nature to stop for a moment or for a few days so that the Almighty God can carry out his will. Because here it is. That they had prayed to God and looked forward to having a child. And now they reach up in old age and that was not fulfilled. But when we read verse 13, 12 and 13, let us hear it.
And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled.
Uh-huh.
And fear fell upon him.
That is an angel. Zacharias was the priest who would go into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice. And when he was there, an angel appeared to him. Read it, brother.
But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias.
Fear not, Zacharias.
For thy prayer is heard.
You see, which prayer, sir? Those prayers that you have been wording for 18 years, and it seems as because you and your wife got up in age, you've stopped praying them. You just assume that God had said no to your prayer. All that God had said to you, Zacharias, wait. Read on, brother.
And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son.
At that age? Yes, again, you see, we function. And we are limited, and rightly so, by biological law, physical law, chemical law, and all these laws that God made. And they are all good laws. But what we must learn is that God is the one who made them. And God can ask them to break for a moment. So when the angel appeared here to Zacharias, He realized that God had not said no to his prayer. God had said, wait. These two people are the parents of this great man, John the Baptist. John, as I've said, was born under these unusual circumstances whereby his parents were childless up until their old age, and God responded to their need. May I just drop by here too, that when you and I pray for anything, in many cases, we do not know what direction God coming from to deliver what we ask for. We do not know what door God will enter through to respond to us. We never know. Pray and leave things up to God. He will deliver, and when he does, it will be the right time. In this lesson of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, remember Elizabeth, if my memory serves me right, is a descendant of Aaron the priest. That's right. So here we have John the Baptist. Unique. Peculiar. Fearless, courageous, convicted. You notice where the man lived? Same place there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Look on the uniqueness, the peculiarness of the man. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 5.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias.
In other words, I am the person that you read about in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. You Jews have been reading about me for years. I am he. Read on, brother.
Saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Yes, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Prepare ye the way of Jesus Christ. The word Lord, they refer to Jesus Christ. Read on.
Make his path straight.
Make his path straight. Read.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair.
A camel's hair made up the man's garment. Read.
And a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locust.
You see, John did not even attire himself like his peers. He dressed differently. Now, you don't go dressing differently now to make a statement. Read on, brother.
And his meat was locust.
And locust is what we call grasshopper. The man was really peculiar. Read on.
And wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem. And all Judea. And all the region round about Jordan. And were baptized of him in Jordan.
That's right. When it says all, it is emphasizing the amount of people in this area, Judea and wherever, that went out to be baptized. But John's preaching was not so inviting. Read on a little further, brother.
Confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him.
When John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him.
Come to his baptism.
To his baptism.
He said unto them,
uh-huh.
O generation of vipers.
How can you expect to convert people when you are called them generation of snake? Viper is a poisonous snake. Huh? Can I do little of that preaching? John was really peculiar. Not only that, these were not people who were cursing him off and criticizing him. They were coming to his preaching. And instead of his preaching, inviting lesson, he was telling them off. You generation of... Wait. John was not lying on them. That's right. You generation of vipers, what?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Wait, it's like he said, you see, John knew that God's destruction was coming. Huh? It's like he said, you get wiser, who warned you to flee from God's wrath? But John, you're preaching, I bring them to God, shouldn't you be glad? That's how peculiar this man was. But this man was the greatest, or among the greatest, of God's servants. I drop along here, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. As great as John is, John the Baptist was not the founder of any church. He could not. The church has to be purchased by the blood of the sinless Son of God. Are we out there? And John did not possess that sinless blood. Not only that, so much so. That John was not the founder of any church. But Brother Mitchell, don't we have church wearing that name? Yes, but they were not founded by John. John knew better than to be founder of any church. Because it was John who said that he that hath the bride... Huh? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. John was pointing out that Jesus Christ is the one who hath the church. He is the bridegroom. The church belonged to him. So much so that John was not the founder of any church at any time. That his very baptism was recalled so that by the time 3032 AD came, when the first gospel message was preached, John's name was not associated again with New Testament baptism. Never again with New Testament baptism. So much so, ladies and gentlemen, that some people who were misled, given the wrong teaching, went and got baptized in John the Baptist's baptism. But they did this after the Almighty God had canceled that baptism. After the Almighty God had recalled that baptism. They unknowingly, ignorantly, they and their teacher Apollos went and got baptized. And you know what? God did not accept that baptism. Are you here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God? Don't ever make the mistake and thinking just because you join a church and you go in the water, God accept what you have done. You know why? what we do spiritually, it has to be done by the gospel. When it's done outside of the gospel directive, God does not accept it. But Brother Mitchell, continue on that stream you are going about John's baptism. Yes, here are some people in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. What did I say? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. That because of the ignorance of their teacher, they were misled into accepting or thinking that John's baptism was still to be practiced, was still in force. So they went and got baptized to that baptism. I'm still on the point, you know, that John was not the founder of any church. And I'm just going to the other extreme to just show you how final that is. That the very baptism. Wait. The very baptism that was given to the man by God. And he preached that baptism during his tenure. When God called that baptism in and said, no more should it be practiced. If you or I go and practice it, we were in error. So Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, you have it there, brother, one of you, quick. From verse 1.
And it came to pass.
While Apollos was at Corinth.
Paul, having passed through the upper coast. Came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples. He said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost? Since you believe. And they said unto Paul,
we have not so much as heard
whether there be
any Holy Ghost. Read on.
And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, brother,
take time with me. You see, it's important that we digest that. Why would this great apostle of Jesus Christ hit at baptism? He found out that something was wrong with their religion, with their Christianity. And the first question the man asks has to do with baptism. You see, Paul asks, unto what then were you baptized? This knowledgeable apostle of Jesus Christ knew God's will enough to know that if they had been properly taught, they would have been properly taught about baptism, and they would have heard about the Holy Spirit. So he realized something is wrong. And most likely it has to do with baptism. So he asked, unto what then were you baptized? And they said,
unto John's baptism.
So they were in fact baptized. Yes, that just confirmed it. Read on.
Then said Paul.
What he's doing now is correcting the teaching that they had previously gotten. He's setting them right. May I, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you're a religious person, you want one day to turn your life to God, I stop by here to tell you today is that day. But I also stop by to tell you that when you get teaching that are not in keeping with the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though you think you are a child of God in God's sight, you are not. That's what happened to these people. The brother is reading from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, from verse 1, 3 to 3, or probably to 4 or 5. They were baptized, and to what then were you baptized? They didn't respond by saying, we have not yet been baptized. They respond by saying, yes, in fact, we were baptized, but it is John's baptism. Read on a little more now.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance.
He's setting them straight. There are a lot of religious people today who need to be set straight. They are sincere. They go to their church. They want to be saved. But they got wrong teaching. So here you have it in the Bible, that they were baptized. And many people think that just going into the water will do it. No, you have to get the right teaching before you are baptized. And you have to get the right teaching after you are baptized. So they asked, unto what then were you baptized? Unto John's baptism. He correct John's baptism. Read on quick, brother.
Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Everybody gets it? So they baptize again. You read somewhere up in verse 2 or 3 or 4 that they were baptized. No, that baptism was not accepted by God. They had to be baptized again. What is the point? The same way if John had founded a church, it could not take you to heaven. That's right, the same principle. John's baptism was wrong because those who practice here practice it at the wrong time. Man, is it Luther who founded a church? Is it John Wesley who founded a church? Is it Charles Tess Russell who founded the Jehovah? Man has no right, and man does not have the spiritual and the righteous prerogative to be founder of any church. Jesus Christ alone is the one who has the what it takes. And this is why the Bible says, any plant which my heavenly hath not planted shall be rooted up. Jesus Christ, in that passage of Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, 14, was not speaking about botanical plants. He was speaking about spiritual plant or religious institution, that there is a day of rooting up coming. Can I continue my lesson on John the Baptist? Of those that are born of woman, none is greater than John. Wherein, I'm asking a question, wherein lies this man's greatness, or greater than? First, Jesus Christ comment, or Jesus Christ's estimation of John's greatness is a light out of heaven upon the confusion of the world and where true greatness lies. You and I are to be mindful of this, that true greatness does not lie necessarily by the standard of greatness that exists in society. Very important that we learn this, because John was not president of any chamber of commerce. John the Baptist was not an inventor of any electronic product. But Jesus Christ said, of all that are born of women, none was greater than John. Wherein lies this man's greatness? May I? As I've said, Jesus' estimation of John proves that the greatness of man is measured by a divine, not a human standard. That men and women that you and I considered great in the sight of God with all that they have invented or brought about that benefits society, in the sight of God, sometimes they are simply seen as just ordinary people. That's right. Greatness is not always found in kings' palaces. It's not always found, as I've said, in the Chamber of Commerce or the Manufacturers Association. It's not always found among physicists or chemists or microbiologists. It's not always found in professors of great university campuses, because in God's estimation and measurement of things, there are men and women in the sight of God around whom you and I move every day that because of their commitment to the Almighty God, they are great, greater than anything around, and sometimes we would never have taken mindfulness of it. When you and I remember what the book of Hebrews says about some of the people who lived there, they were sawn asunder, they were eaten by wild beasts. Then the writer of Hebrews pointed out that of whom the world was not worthy. These people were men and women who sometimes did not even have the clothes, the proper attire to wear. These are men and women who were many times hungry for food. And yet the Almighty God, in his inspired writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, tells us that the world was not worthy of them. That means they were too valuable. They were too important for the world. John the Baptist was such a man. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of men in God's sight is he who is nearest to Jesus Christ, is he who humbles and submits himself to the will of God. It is the man or the woman who is steadfast, dedicated, and committed in the cause of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was such a person. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to wrap up about this point. We have not gotten yet in some of the detail of John's greatness. But that I'm hoping Sunday coming to pick up. And that is, first, let me just take a few seconds or a minute to speak a little about the paradox in John's comparative greatness, the paradox. It's like there is a contradiction in what Jesus Christ said. Wait. I didn't say there is, I said it is as if. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 again.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Wait, who are these people that if they are considered least in the kingdom, they are greater than this great man? Who are they? This is like Christ is almost contradicting himself. He didn't. Here he exalts John the Baptist to the heights of greatness. Then he made a statement that those who are least in, not those who are great in the kingdom, those who are least in the kingdom, they are still greater than John the Baptist. We want to finish this next Sunday if God is willing. We want to explore this paradox, you know. And when you go home later, read the passage and what is Christ saying? He's the greatest of human beings or among the greatest that walk this earth. Yet, there are some people there who are greater. In fact, they are least where they are. They are not on the top ladder, but they are greater than John the Baptist. Them the people must be great then. There's so much more to learn from this lesson. We beg that you come and study with us. As I said, we are going to explore this paradox. But John was great. And may I just throw out, because of John's association with Jesus Christ. That's what made John great, because of his connection to Jesus Christ. That's what made John great. You can make a connection with Jesus Christ this morning. Eh? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 that you can get in Christ today. In verse 26 of this passage, not verse. Verse 26 says, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Notice here. It didn't say and stop, we are all the children of God. No, sir, it didn't say that. It tells you where you are to become a child of God. It is in Christ Jesus. That's verse 26. Then verse 27 tells you how to get in Christ Jesus. But Brother Mitchell, I thought you were preaching about John the Baptist. Yes, because I've just made the statement that because of John the Baptist's connection to Christ, that's how comes the man was so great. And I'm saying you can have a connection with Christ, stated by Christ's word, that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, John was not even in Christ. That's why those that we are going to look on next week are in the kingdom are greater than John. Oh, what a great God. What a great institution the church is. What a great plan of salvation God gives us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can, by God's plan and arrangement, you can become a true child of God today. through faith in Christ, repentance from your sin, confession, not confessing your sin, but Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. We're going to stand and sing a song. You can come forward and give your life to Jesus Christ to have a connection with Jesus Christ. As many of us that have been baptized into Christ, we put Christ on. Christ calls you now as we stand and sing.